You know, I don't think this is really a Mother's Day sermon. Sorry about that. It's about loving your enemies. I hope that doesn't ring a bell for you with Mother's Day. Maybe mothers feel that way sometimes. They have to love their little enemies or their big ones. I don't know. That's not the intention this morning. But we are in Luke chapter 6. We're marching through Luke. We're in the part of it that's called the Sermon on the Plain. It's similar to Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. You know, there is a lot of conflict in this world, isn't there? I mean, everywhere you go, there's conflict. How do we deal with it? What do we do with it? As God's people, how should we respond? That's really what we want to talk about this morning. I want to reread what we went through last week at the beginning of this sermon, because sermons are meant to be heard. They're not meant to be dissected one sentence at a time, really. And we're not going to get all the way through it today, but just want to pick up in verse 20, where we studied last week. Of course, they're on a hillside near Capernaum, and there were lots of people there. Some were described as Jesus' disciples. Some were just described as the crowds. But verse 20 says, "Looking at his disciples, he said, 'Blessed are you who are poor. Yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets.'" And then we get to today's section in verse 27. "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." So let's back up to verse 27 there. It says, "To you who are listening." And that takes us right back to verse 20, where we started, where he said, he looked at his disciples and said. He's talking to his disciples, to those who have made some commitment to follow him, and to obey his word. He was not talking to unsaved people. He was not talking directly to the curious crowds. He was talking to those who had made a commitment to following him and obeying his teaching. And to you, he says, you're going to face persecution because of me. People are going to hate you because you identify with me. In that the beginning part we read, if you follow me, it's going to be hard. And you're going to love it. He knew that they would face persecution. They would have encounters with people who became enemies of the name of Jesus, and it would result in their mistreatment. So what should they do? Should they fight? Should they retaliate? Should they retreat and hide? It's a pretty radical sermon. The introduction's radical. Blessed are you who are poor, who are hungry, who are mourning. And these commands are just as radical. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Does that sound normal? Does that sound like the world we live in? Is that what you experienced on the playground growing up? Love those who do wrong to you? How about junior high, middle school? Is that how middle school goes? No. That's the most awful place. Those people are mean to each other. How about your workplace now? Does everybody treat each other nicely? There's no conflict? I doubt it. You know, some churches don't even experience this kind of love. In some churches, there's a lot of conflict. Honestly, some church people are just as mean as anyone else. Not here, of course. We're talking about other churches, right? Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And I don't think he meant pray for their harm. Right? I don't think that's what he meant. So what would be a good prayer for your enemy, for those who have come against you? How about this? Lord, may they know you. May they understand their need for you and what you've already done for them. Or how about this? Lord, please help me to show love like you love. That's a dangerous prayer, by the way. And sometimes I find it difficult to utter a prayer like that when I'm feeling conflict. But I also know that if I earnestly pray that way, it's much harder to wish harm on someone else. It's hard to retaliate. If someone takes your cloak, do not withhold your tunic. And the NIV and some other translations say coat and shirt. If anyone takes from you something from you, do not demand it back. Now, I noted to myself here, it doesn't say avoid all conversation. Maybe a conversation is needed. Maybe a conversation to say, well, what do you need? Did you take that because you're hungry or because you need a coat? Or are you just trying to be mean? I mean, there might be a good conversation. We might learn something about them. Give to those who ask. You know, if we lived in the world like this, where we all treated each other this way, wouldn't it be easier? If the world acted like this, there would be no war. However, the world does not act in love as Jesus is talking about. There is hatred, there is evil, and there is war. Do not expect the world to exhibit the attributes of God, but train yourself to exhibit the attributes of God. If you're taking notes and you'd like an outline, let me give you three words: command, example, and principle. We're going to look at those three things in this passage. And the command is, love your enemies. Loving your neighbor is hard enough, right? But he says, love your enemies. What kind of love are we talking about here? Probably most of you know that in their day, in the common Greek language that was the language of commerce in their day, there were three or four words for different kinds of love. There was friendly affection, storge, or I think that's how it was pronounced, maybe not. There was brotherly or sisterly love, phileo, as in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. There is romantic love, eros, and an altruistic love. And that's where we get the word agape. And in the church, we like to toss that word around because it sounds nice and religious. I think often we misuse it. It is an altruistic love. Agape love has little to do with emotion. It's a choice. It's action. It is not self-seeking. It is totally about doing the right thing for the other person. Now, at home and with your spouse, I hope you feel all of those kinds of love. I hope you experience all of that kind of love. But, you know, when you're dealing with a person that's coming against you who appears to be an enemy, you probably will not feel loving. But we are expected as ambassadors of Jesus Christ to act in a way that conveys the other person's good. It's not natural, but it is the command. Love your enemies. And then he gave us examples. Look at the examples in verses 29 and 30. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other cheek. And you've heard this all your life, turn the other cheek, right? And we use it to mean different things, maybe. I don't get Pharisaic about this. I could imagine Christians arguing about the exact boundaries of what this means. How hard of a slap should I endure? You know, at what point is it not a slap? What if I get hit in the arm or in the stomach? Does it mean the same thing? What if somebody trips me? Am I supposed to get tripped again? Listen to me. It's an example. It's a type. It's not a definition. Is that fair enough? And by the way, one book said that the most literal translation would be, if someone punches you in the jaw, turn the other side. I don't know. But most translations say slapped in the cheek. Do these commands and examples mean that we should never defend ourselves? I can't imagine that would be true. That there's never a time to defend ourselves. And as Westerners, I know your attitude. I know a lot of you are carrying weapons today, even now, so that you could defend your family. So how do we get from turn the other cheek to defending ourselves? Is he talking about life-threatening events? A slap in the cheek? Someone took your coat? It's not life-threatening, is it? So maybe we should not apply it to life-threatening events. If a deranged and angry person ran into this room and harmed one of you, should I say, well, go ahead and harm another? You know that's not going to be my response, and none of you are going to respond that way. We're going to do our best to stop the violence, and that probably will include a violent response, right? How would this apply to abortion? It does not. It doesn't fit that problem. It doesn't. He's not talking about every form of violence. He's talking about treating our enemies and those who come against us with a kingdom mindset. With able to look at the situation and see this person needs to know the love of God. To be able to look past what we're feeling and see the bigger picture. I'm an ambassador of Christ, and in this situation, I need to just take it. I need to show what it looks like to be an ambassador for Christ. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt. I don't think Jesus expects us to take all our clothes off. But that's if you in their language, he says, if someone takes your cloak, don't withhold your tunic. In their mode of dress, the cloak was the outer clothing and the tunic was the inner clothing. If you gave up your tunic, you're going to be really exposed. Sometimes we have to be vulnerable to show love. Verse 31 clearly states the principle. The principle behind all this. This principle is timeless. It is not confined to a particular language or a particular culture. It is so well known that it has a name. We call it the Golden Rule. Right? The Golden Rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Now, sometimes we misquote that and we change it around and play with it, but what it says is, do to others as you would have them do to you. And you may know that there are similar statements in many ancient languages and from many ancient cultures, things much older than the New Testament. And that's true. This is a widely used principle, not just in Judeo-Christian circles, but in all the other situations, as far as I've read, it was always stated in the negative. Something like, do not do to others what you do not want to be done to you. But Jesus sort of flips the script again, as he does, and he states it in a positive way, a proactive way. Show love by action. Treat people how you want to be treated. It's a principle. Love your enemies. That's the command is love your enemies. The examples are many, like turn the other cheek. The principle is treat others how you want to be treated. Treat others in the image of God. We're all created in the image of God. Treat people as image bearers. Does it mean we should never fight? As in war? Does it mean that Christians should never defend themselves or their family? I cannot see how that would be true. You will not allow a criminal to come in your house and harm your family. I don't think that's what Jesus was saying. Probably all of you have heard of a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a pastor in Germany and a national leader during World War II. He even left Germany for a time when he was in the U.S., could have stayed here and lived safely, but he voluntarily went back to Germany to teach his people and to help lead his people. And you probably know that he participated in an attempt to assassinate Hitler. Here's a Christian pastor involved in an attempt to assassinate the national leader, Hitler. And it said that, he even wrote about it, that prior to the attempted assassination, he prayed, "Lord, if we're wrong, please forgive us." But it seems much more wrong to do nothing. It was not a turn the other cheek situation. Does that make sense? Turn the other cheek doesn't apply to every form of violence. He's talking about how we need to learn to love people, even those who don't like us. And it's a big ask. It's not complicated. It's not a hard truth to understand. It may be very hard to apply. And Jesus continued to give examples of his meaning. If you love only those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners can do that. Even sinners can be good to those who are good to them and can lend to those who they know will repay it. And by the way, in their situation, in their day, there weren't banks and credit cards so much as we have, right? So if you needed help, you would just go to your neighbor who had more, or to someone in the community who had more, and ask for a loan. We don't do that so much. Do that sometimes, probably, but mostly we go to the bank or we just swipe the card and hope for the best at the end of the month. But to them, it was a lifeline often to be able to borrow from someone in the community. And he said, you know, don't worry about if they can pay it back. If you're able to help, help. Are we really expected to lend to people who we know are not likely to repay? That's kind of getting in our business, isn't it? Maybe there is a greater need than us being repaid. Maybe that's the only opportunity they have to know what Christian love is like. Maybe it's an opportunity to be shown the love of God, and yet it seems like a hard ask at times. But look, don't miss the payoff. Look at verses 35 and 36 again. "But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." Your reward will be great. Can you trust God to reward you rightly? Sure you can. Trusting God is what the whole exercise of relationship with Him is about, is it not? Do you trust Him enough to love your enemy and lend to a person without expecting repayment? Do we trust God enough to be kind to bad people? Why should we? It says plain, your reward will be great. Will God reward you in this life or in the next life? Yes. There will be reward on this side of glory, and there will be more reward on the other side of glory. And I want you to know that God is much, he is much more able to reward you than anything in this world. This isn't just one of those passing statements. Your reward will be great later. He means it. Treat people right. Live out my commands. And there will be reward in it for you, both in this life and the next. And there's another reason. And it's not less of a reason than the unseen reward. He says God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked people. In the book of Matthew, it says, he sends rain on the just and the unjust. So be merciful as your Father is merciful. Be known for God's nature shining through you. Show yourself to be his children by loving even your enemy. Toward the crucifixion, it's recorded in the book of John that Jesus said to his disciples, I give you a new command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love each other. As I have loved you, love each other. Here he says, even love your enemies. Show yourself to be his children by loving even your enemy. It's not natural. It's not easy. It is not the way of the world. But we serve a supernatural God who equips us to do his work and to live his way. His capacity is far greater than the rewards of this world. Jesus said, it's going to be hard. If you follow me and live my way, you're going to face some hardship and you will have joy. You'll be blessed. You'll be happy. We know that the world stinks at times, but the eternal rewards move us beyond the stench. How can an unsaved person know the Lord unless they hear his word and they see that it actually works? People need to know that it works. It's not a hollow philosophy. And therefore, we are called to love. To be able to put on that kingdom mindset and see the situation from outside of our feelings and say, I'm going to do right, even though they're coming against me. I'm going to do right. I'm going to show love because God said so. And I know that he will have rewards in it. Love your enemies. I suppose there's room for personal stories, and I suspect all of you have those. I had a fellow challenge me one time. We were on a little trip and riding a sailing ship, an old ship, beautiful. I mean, just to look at the ship was a treat. And the guy who owned it and ran it, and we paid to take us for a ride, was barefoot, running around the deck, pulling ropes. His hands and his feet were hard as rocks. He was a hard man. He was a sailor. And he lived a sailor lifestyle. And he asked me what I did, and I told him I'd been a police officer and I was in Christian work. And he said, how can that go together? How can you be a police officer and yet turn the other cheek? And I just said, well, I'm more worried about the command that says love your neighbor. I find that one harder. He just went to pulling more rope and paid attention to some of the other people on the boat. But it may look like it doesn't fit. Turn the other cheek. Lend to those who may not be able to pay back. Help those in need, even if you don't know where it'll come back to you. Show the love of God so that people can know Him and know that His commands work. And God will reward you. You can trust Him, can't you? Love your enemies. Happy Mother's Day. Let's sing.